Kyanati Mirandasya Kyananjanan Sakaya Chaksurun Militam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jainam Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadatishva Padoniram Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarine. All right, questions.
Okay. So, I think one special thing about your life, one of the many, is how you were probably one of the first people in the West to learn about bhakti yoga.
Mm.
You know, of course, Srila Prabhupada was one of the first people to ever come, if not the first, to teach about all of the Eastern practices and especially about bhakti.
Mm.
So, what was it like for you being one of the pioneers of the bhakti movement, of learning about bhakti in times that were so different than they are now?
Mm. Well, the setting was a different time and different place, that's for sure. But it's the same, really, after all the decades that pass. There's people that are immersed in what they've learned from their parents and what they've learned from schools, what they've learned from the government, what they've learned from the environment around them. But people are still the same. They're still looking for happiness, looking for wealth, looking for joy, looking for harmony, looking for peace, prosperity. So whether bhakti yoga is realized in this decade or this century in time, it's still the same game for humanity at large. So that time, which was the mid-60s, Prabhupada came and opened his first temple in 66, the summer. The young people that were attracted to that message at that time were a little bit cutting loose. In other words, in the 50s, there wasn't as much cut loose as in the 60s. People more or less followed what the prosperity years of the 50s after the World War, Second World War. So it wasn't until the 60s that people were a little open to something different. And certainly the message of bhakti yoga was cloaked in what's Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And because it wasn't really bhakti yoga that was taught as a yoga, which other yogis from the East generally tended to do, it was love of God that was taught. So through that, bhakti emerged, the spirit of bhakti. And bhakti is service to God, service to man, service to self. It's very powerful. Wherever you catch a drop of it, here, there, anyway, it's very relevant to the lives of ordinary people like you and I. So Bhaktivedanta Swami revealed bhakti yoga through with great love and care to those that wanted to explore it. And he did that mostly through encouragement, in simple instructions, and he put out the idea that you can become better you if you follow Bhakti Yoga. You can become better to others if you follow Bhakti Yoga. And you can make use of this human form of life through following Bhakti Yoga. So it was just a nugget that a little quiet 25-year-old Italian girl just had the good fortune to find. We can consider us very fortunate if we come across anyone who presents Bhakti Yoga purely. A lot of the words yoga is being used today, and there are many different practitioners and many different understandings of that. But I can say that Bhaktivedanta Swami passed on the essence of pure Bhakti Yoga to the Western world. He was the first one who did that.
Mm-hmm. So nice. So beautiful. You've spent many years on the bhakti path.
Mm.
On a personal and deep level, what would you say the essence of bhakti is for you?
Oh, such a good question. That is, what is the essence of that for me? Wonder at the greatness of Bhakti Yoga. It's so vast and so all-comprehensive that it covers many bases that we don't even know we want to find yet. It's so comprehensive. It brings auspiciousness and goodness and reality and potency and peace to our lives like quite nothing else that I've ever found. I've been 44 years practicing Bhakti Yoga every day. Every day I can say that. And every day it's richer. We have so many ups and downs in life. We climb hills and go through valleys and in and out. And there are so many lessons to be learned. And as long as bhakti is the foundation in our lives, then everything comes into a focus that I haven't seen through other lenses. I have not seen through other lenses. There's so many self-help programs. There's so much information that we have access to now in this age, more than ever before, perhaps, in certainly modern history. But that doesn't necessarily make us happier or peaceful or able to deal with the hardships that come along, the griefs. But I can say that Bhakti Yoga is a shelter and a foundation that allows one to take these things with grace. And there are three elements that I think really help. Bhakti Yoga, it helps us be more patient. It helps us be more enthusiastic for living our lives. And it helps give us the will to do all of those two things as well. So it's very powerful. It's a nugget of that you think is very small, but it's actually a great, great jewel, Bhakti.
What do you think the most essential personal qualities for living an authentic life of Bhakti are?
Seriousness and sincerity. Those are the keys. Once we find out that something is valuable, we have to learn how to value it. So the way you get inside of bhakti is through a couple things. First, you have to have information that allows you to even view the thing for what it is, the value that it is, to have someone to evaluate that. But then once you find out the wealth that it possesses, then two things, seriousness and sincerity. Without those two things, really it becomes a little elusive. You can find it, but it'll take much longer to find it. So the more we actually aspire for those two qualities, the sooner we get into the labyrinth and the depths and the vehicle that Bhakti Yoga is in making our lives richer and more powerful. So how do we do that? That's up to each individual. How they access those things, even how we define those things, is different for each individual. Like, what does serious mean? And if you are serious, what do you do about it? Or what is sincere? What does it mean to be sincere? So those things each practitioner, by certain kinds of association, they might get more insights into that. So generally, bhakti practitioners appreciate learning from those that are higher in the path than they are. That's also very important. We can do everything alone. Man can do everything alone, but man is really not an alone animal. He's a family animal. So we learn from those family members that we keep around us. If we have others that appreciate the values of bhakti, that's very, very swift. But no matter how we approach it, even if you are alone, there are times in life where you're not with those people that you would most like to be with. You're there by circumstance, but you're there to learn something too. So you can learn from any situation you're in when bhakti is at core. It's a gift when we're given the right environment to do what we'd really like to do. Some of us don't even find out what we'd really like to do. It's hard to even access that. But again, a lot of it is good fortune. It's called bhagya in Sanskrit. Bhagya means good fortune. So if we're fortunate enough to come across bhakti, and if we're just a little bit serious and sincere, those qualities can increase to a very high degree and make each one of our lives very, very enlivened, very special, very glorious, and very conducive to helping others on this planet, making this a better place. Yeah. Bhakti ki jai.